songwriter said, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I'm bound for heaven, never more to roam.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Prophecies Concerning False Teachers. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Prophecies Concerning False Teachers.
Outside, even though it was pouring down raining, it just seemed like it was bright. And you know what? I really didn't figure that out. I really didn't figure it out until y'all began to get into the Word. And you know what? You know what happened to me that night? You know what happened to me? You know why my world had just brightened up and lightened up? Because I had been carrying the burden of sin around for 20 years. And you know what? The longer I lived, the heavier it got. And that night, Jesus Christ lifted that burden off of me. And it seemed like, man, my whole world just got light because he took the burden. He took the sin. And so for us, Christ takes our sin, and we never have to give an account of our sin anymore. But here, these folk, they're going to have to give an account. In Revelation chapter 20, it says, and at the end of verse 12, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And I believe that this is one of the saddest verses in the whole Word of God. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Songwriter said, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I'm bound for heaven, never more to roam. Thank God that my name is in the book. I know my name is in the book. I don't know about anybody else's name, but there's one name I know. William Raymond Glaze is in the book. And that when I stand before him and he opens that book, not here at the great white throne, but at the judgment seat of Christ, I thank God that my name will be there. How about your name? Will your name be written in the book? And so these individuals were ungodly. Let's go back to Jude. These ungodly individuals, the Lord says that he's coming to execute judgment and to convict all them that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. And then look at the conversation. The first part, he's going to convict them of their conduct. Now he's going to convict them of their conversation. He says, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, you know one thing that just runs through me? You know, and I guess maybe I need to get a little more boldness in this area. Especially if somebody's not talking to me. Maybe I just need to stay out of it and mind my own business. But you know, it really bothers me when I hear somebody take the Lord's name in vain. And it just bothers me. And you know, I know the scripture says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, because why? He will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, here we got a lot of interpretation. Somebody said, well, it's not right. They don't necessarily mean cussing. You know, it means to, you know, in the midst of having something bad, if you just curse the Lord. And you know, so we got all these definitions as to what that means. But you know what? When you bam your finger, boom, I never hear anybody say, D-A-M Allah. Whenever somebody does something that makes you mad, I never hear anybody say, curse Muhammad. But you know, we can damn God all day long. And we can take his son, Jesus Christ, in vain all day long. Now, I just have to believe that somewhere along the line, that for those who continue on in that state unrepentant, that God is not going to hold them guilty. He said he wasn't in his word, that he was not going to hold them guiltless. Now, I know that we have some of the saints that sometimes fall off of their holiness. But you better get somewhere and fall on your knees and repent after that. But I believe that's one level of what this means right here. But I believe that there's another level to this also. And that is that level where, you know, folk have just, you know, denounced God. You know, I was listening to Word FM the other day. The guy that comes on from 3 to 6, Marty Minto. And this guy had called in who was an atheist. And he just had no sense of God at all. And he was saying all these things. Well, I don't believe this. I don't believe that. And he was speaking against everything that God stood for. Well, you know, I believe that God was talking to that person. I mean, if you listen and you heard him on the radio the other day, then that is the person that this verse is also talking about right here. They have hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And, you know, the thing about it is that these are mild-mannered and meek people that if we see on the street, man, we think about them as upright, outstanding citizens. Man, they are models of virtue in our communities. But yet and still, they speak against Christ. They speak against God. And you know, sometimes I think that because they look all right, we as God's people have a tendency to lessen the impact of what they're saying. And we need to realize that they are speaking against Christ. And in Psalm 2, it says that those individuals have spoken against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us cast our bands off of them. Let us cut their cords asunder. We don't want God to have any kind of ties on our life. We don't want God to have any control on our life. And you know, man, I see this with a lot of young people today. You know, it might not be this brazen and this bold, but in their own way, they're speaking against Christ. Instead of honoring, you know, the Bible says that children should honor their father and mother. Now, I have a tendency to believe that the fathers and mothers here at Bethany, for the most part, 99.9% of the fathers and mothers in Bethany have what's best in mind for their kids. I believe that. But then, you know, I hope that we don't have that 1% here, like the lady in Texas who killed her two sons. And, you know, the Bible says in the last day that parents would be without natural affection. And the fact that, you know, somebody could just cold-bloodedly kill their child. You know, and we see that, you know, they are individuals that got issues. But I'm, for the most part, the average parent has what's in mind, what's best for their children. But yet and still, the kids don't want to listen to the parents. You know, we want to listen to everybody else. You know, and the parents have already been through it. You know what? The kids say, well, I got to learn it for myself. Well, you don't really have to. You know, if you would listen to what I'm trying to tell you, that you really wouldn't have to learn it for yourself. And you could be a lot further down the road than you are right now. Amen. All the kids said boo, and all the parents said yay. But I wonder when children, especially if parents are trying to focus on God and put God at the center of the home, and the kids rebel against that, if they're not casting off the cords on their life, if they're not throwing off the restraint, and the blessings. You know, just by nature of the fact that you are under your parents' roof means that you are receiving the blessings from being in that home. That when God pours his blessings upon that home, you know what? Because you are in the home, you're going to be blessed. Just because you're in the home. Now, when you move out and you establish your own independence and your own headship, then you got to deal with God one-on-one. But as long as you're in the home, God is dealing with you through your parents. And you are covered. You are covered. And so it's important that we yield to the home, that we honor the guidelines of the parents established in the home. That when you throw off the guidelines that the parents have established in the home, then I believe to some degree, you are speaking against Christ. You're saying that I don't want what Christ has. I don't want to yield to Christ. And even though you might be saved, you can be lumped in this category with these folk who are living ungodly lifestyles. He says in verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers. Now, look at this. And I didn't see this until I studied this out. But these individuals, you know why they murmur and complain? And I didn't see this until I studied it. Because they walk after their own lusts. And their own lusts are not fulfilled. They're out here trying to fulfill their lusts and their desires. And their lusts and desires are not fulfilled. So what do? They begin to complain. Oh, man, I wish that I could have more money. Man, I wish that I had a Cadillac. You know, I wish that I had money so I could go. And you know what? What is it? You know, you want to pursue your own lustly values. And when you don't do that, then you start to complain and you start to murmur. And then he goes on to say, he says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You know what this means? This is deep. That they go butter somebody else up because they want to make them feel good because they're going to try to hit them up for something. Oh, Dad, you're the best dad in the world. Did I ever tell you that before? Yeah, every time you want something, that's it. And so it is that these individuals, you know, come and you know, they will tell you things to win you over. They will tell you things to persuade you to their way of thinking. Why? Because they actually have an ulterior motive. They're trying to get something out of you. And you really need to be aware of folks like that. So that's the first prophecy. Enoch prophesied that the Lord is coming to judge the ungodly. And then especially he's making reference to the false teachers. And then let's look at this other prophecy. And that is the prophecy of the apostles in verse 17. He says in verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second prophecy. Remember what the apostles said. Well, who was he talking about? Well, Paul, if you look at your notes there, Paul gave an apostolic warning. He said that in the last days that savage wolves would come in and attack the flock. Paul told Timothy that apostates would be in the church. But I want to look at this one particular one in 2 Peter, if you'll turn there. Because Peter gave one. And there's a lot of information written in Jude and Peter that's almost exactly the same. And as a matter of fact, some people believe that one of them copied off of the other. But see, when you got the same spirit given it, then you under divine inspiration. So God is able to reveal it to both of you. 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, Jude said, remember the words of the apostles. He said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Scoffers that will come and say, why are you living for Christ? He's not coming back. Just go on and do your own thing. Go on and live the way that you want to live. Eat, drink, and be merry. He's not coming back. Man, you're wasting time being a goody two-shoe. You're wasting time living the straight life. Why don't you come on out here and shake a leg with us? Why don't you come on out here and have a good time with us out here in sin? Scoffers that will come in the last day. And so Jude said that the apostles, be mindful what the apostles said, that in the last days scoffers would come. And look back in Jude what he says. He says, but beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These are they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And this becomes deep, because what happens is that these folk have come into the church. They have come into the church. And they are scoffing and they are mocking the things of God. In verse 19, actually the King James is not the best translation. Now, once again, when we start dealing with translations, you know, and we say that there's a better translation, you got to keep in mind when we deal with translations, just remember this, that when they wrote the King James in 1611, that they wrote it to a certain audience. And words have changed since then. You know, for instance, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul said that we shall not prevent those who are asleep from going to be with the Lord. Well, back then, the word prevent meant to go before. Well, what does the word prevent today mean? It means to hinder. It means to stop. So that's why we need translations. And I, you know, maybe one day I'll just do an update on why we need translations. But that's one reason why we need translations, because words change. Not that they weren't inspired when the writers of the King James wrote them. They were just as inspired as far as the original language was concerned. But the words, the language, the culture has changed. And that's why you need new translations to keep up with the culture. Okay. So when the King James wrote this, you know, they knew exactly what they were trying to communicate. But as we look at it today, you know, actually what this verse means in verse 19, where it says, these are they who separate themselves. Actually, the translation is, these are they who cause divisions within the body. Because some people would have the idea that they separate themselves from the body of Christ. But that's not what it's talking about. That these folk come right in to the body and they cause division and they cause separation. And look, it says that they are sensual and they don't have the Spirit. And they come in here and their only objective and their only reason is to cause division. And you know the sad thing? You know the sad thing, and I'm talking about any church, all right, is that, you know, there are folks that will listen to them. You know, that when they come in and bring in this ungodly false doctrine, when they come in and tell you that you need to live however you want to live. You know what? If I said today, now some of y'all know better, okay? Some of y'all know better, so you would just disregard what Pastor Glaze said, all right? But, you know, there would be some people that would love it in here if I said, you know, the Bible says that it's all right for you to have premarital sex. Man, some folk would just jump right on that. Pastor Glaze said, man, and you would be, boom, out this door. You know, so you know, some folk are just waiting to hear from somebody what they want to hear. And so these false teachers had come in, and they began to tell folk what they wanted to hear. And look at sensual. They were sensual. Why does Jude bring that out? Why does he bring out the fact that they were sensual? The Greek word is suke or sukoi. You know, that means they were, you know, their natural desires, their lower instincts were coming out. And they were finding other people that will join them in what they wanted to do. And so that's why, You know, Brother Carl and I were talking after the last time I preached in Jude. And if, as you read Jude, man, Jude got some strong language. You know, he went back in verse 12. He said that they were spots on the feast. He said they were trees dried up. He said they were raging rivers. They were stars that were wandering. I mean, Jude is very strong. And Carl and I were talking. And you know why Jude is so strong? You know why Jude, I believe, not only under the inspiration of God, but you know why Jude is so strong? Because who was Jude's half-brother? Jesus Christ. And you know what? When you talk about somebody's family, man, you get a little hot. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. You coming up in my brother's house? And you talking about him? You talking about my brother? And I think that's one reason why Jude has so much passion as he condemns these false prophets and apostles. Because this is my brother that you're talking about. Man, I'm standing for my brother. I didn't always agree with my brother, but when I found out who my brother was, then I was with him. And I'm not going to let you come in here and disgrace my brother. I'm not going to let you come in here and say things that go contrary to what my brother taught. And Jude is upset. Jude is passion. And you know, all this passion comes out in his letter that he wrote. And we can be a beneficiary of the fact that Jude was trying to let us in on the fact that people will come and try to pervert you. People will come and try to get you to do the wrong thing. And you need to, as he said in verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith. Father, we come to you today, and I just thank you for the passion that Jude presents as he gives us this admonition to let us know that, number one, the ungodly will be judged, and number two, that there will be mockers that will come in the last days to wreak havoc in the body of Christ. So, Lord, let us be aware of these things that Jude was so passionate about. Let us be aware of these things that you communicated to him, through him to us, so that we might be the beneficiaries of this great salvation. Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that does not know Jude's brother, Jude's half-brother, there's someone here that has never received Jude's half-brother, and we know who that is, that's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God of very God. Lord, if there's someone here today that has never received Christ as their Lord and Savior, then we pray that you might touch them in their heart, touch them in their spirit, and allow them to come this day and give their life to Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that's looking for a church home, and they see this as a place where their soul might be fed, a place where we believe in preaching the entire word of God, and not just picking out portions and claiming it, but preaching the entire word of God. Lord, I ask that you would speak to that heart today, that they might come and unite with this local fellowship. Lord, we commit this invitation to you and ask that you would be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Prophecies Concerning False Teachers, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Prophecies Concerning False Teachers. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Prophecies Concerning False Teachers. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.